And now, to the millions and millions of listeners and viewers all across the world, it's the That's Not Christian Podcast.
Let's go.
Yeah, what up, y'all? It's your boy Switch. I'm here with your man Jimmy. I'm here with your man Jay. I'm here with your boy Ant. And we have our very, very special guest, Stephen DeLevi.
Yo, welcome, welcome. We are live.
What's going on, fellas?
What's popping?
Nope.
How y'all doing? Stephen, you good over there, man? Oh, he can't hear us. You can't hear us.
Oh, man. We got some technical difficulties.
What's going on?
You probably got a. Well, he can't hear us, so any type of instructions we give him ain't gonna work. he was just hearing us though, right?
We were just having a conversation. He was. It's all good. What up, fellas? How was your weekend?
Awesome, bro. What do you mean? We potted on Monday. What do you mean?
You know what happened? I was off. You know what I'm saying? I was off.
You've been off the last couple of days.
Yeah, I was off. You know what I mean? So I wasn't on Monday's live. So
right.
That's why I'm coming off the weekend. Y'all are like, yeah, we already did that.
All right.
Well, what's going on, man?
Man, just grinding, man. You know, I've been on this competition with my barber, right? I told y'all about that.
Yeah.
So I got up early this morning, man. I had to get them steps in, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm focused, man. I'm get this $100.
Oh, that's right. You have a comp going on. I heard about that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So trying to stay consistent. You know what I mean? You hear us, Steven?
Yep. Nah, I got all it. Right. I don't know what happened. It switched my speaker and my mic on me. I was like, how come it switched to some mic that I don't recognize and some Bluetooth headphones I don't recognize? I was like, what the heck? But either way, I'm back.
Hey, well, welcome
to the show, man. It's a pleasure to have you, man. CHH legend, you know what I mean?
Right. Hey. Pioneer,
you know what I'm saying? So, well, you ain't missed much. We were just talking about, Jimmy, he's working out now to
get
his competition that he's doing with his barber.
Okay. That's dope.
Yeah.
I always admire people who work out because I never work out. I just work. like I prefer manual labor. Like if I can just go outside and lift heavy stuff and like do something constructive and build something. Like I lost mad weight this summer just building sheds and fences on my job. Oh, wow. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I prefer that because I feel like I'm killing two birds with one stone. I'm getting paid to work out instead.
Right. Yeah. No, that's dope. That's dope. You got that like farmer strength. You got that construction worker strength. That's different. That's way different.
Yeah, now, that's right.
Now, Stephen, I remember you being. Are you currently around the New York area or the tri-state area?
No. So we moved to Atlanta a little over a year ago. Yeah, but before we moved here, we were in Maryland, and before that, we were in New York. So
New York, okay, yeah,
yeah.
And you guys had like a church plant there, right, as well?
Yep. Epiphany Fellowship or Epiphany Church, the one in New York, the one in Brooklyn, we call it Epiphany Church. So, yeah, we came there to help out with that plant and get things started. So it's probably like five or six years old now. I can't remember. But, yeah, when we moved there, like it was like the beginning of it. So, yep.
Nice. That's what's up, man. So what's been going on, fellas? What's the headlines this week, man?
There's a lot going on, man.
What do you mean?
All kinds of things, man. Do you see they still messing with your mans?
With your mans? Your mans in them. So they're still trying to impeach Trump, huh?
Yeah, they're trying to make it so he can't run in 2024. I don't understand it though, man. Like if they already figured out how to hack the system, right, and count votes after hours, like why would you have to do all that extra stuff and impeach them? You know what I'm saying? But they're going extra on him, They want to make sure that he's not gonna run. But yo, like the MAGAs, like they're really on some like dynasty type stuff where they're like Donald J. Trump Jr. gonna run, his little man's gonna run, his wife gonna run, his sister gonna run. Like, we're gonna have Trumps for like 100 years, bro. Them maggots are different, bro. The Trump
family.
Yeah, they different, bro. They like, I ain't never seen nothing like it before, man.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. So the impeachment started, right?
Yeah. I have not. I'm gonna be honest, I have not. I don't really care.
Yeah, me neither, bro. Like
whatever. Like, he's already out. Like, come on. That's it. Right. On to the next one. You know what I mean?
Right.
But man, the way they was I read some of the stuff that they were saying, and one dude, he was crying, you know, because you know, they're basically saying that, you know, well, and this could be true. I mean,
the dude was testified, right?
At the end of the day, if you're at work and you got a stampede of people coming to your job, you're gonna be a little fearful for your life and be like, yo, what's going on right now?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what can happen. It can go left real quick. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just you and like a pen and a stapler. Like, that's it. That's all you got.
Right.
Yeah, so
I've been in that position, bro. I've been in that position here in Cali, bro. Some dudes try to roll up on me in my math class, bro, and all I had was a pencil. Like,
you gotta go John Wick.
John Wick
or Joker, those are your options.
That's I pulled out my little number two pencil, man. I was like, let's go, you know, and it thank God that nothing happened. My teacher stepped in and stopped it, called security and everything else. So I know how that dude felt, you know. I know that feeling, man, where you're just like, whoa, chill. You know what I mean? It's like,
AOC's running with that too, right?
Like, yeah, she's like two blocks down the street. Yeah, come on, man.
She
from your hood too, right?
Yeah, she from the Bronx,
unfortunately.
She from your borough, man. She repping that. What's she repping, that Co-op City or something?
Nah. She on the other side, no?
She on the other side?
Yeah.
That's wild, man. She said her life flashed before her eyes and everything. Two blocks away. That's crazy. That must have been like a crazy protest, huh?
Wait, she wasn't even around. She wasn't even in the building?
Nah, her building is like right down the street, man. You know what I mean? So it's like, it must have been wild out there. If you like, you look out your window and you're like, whoa, I'm scared for my life.
I was reading that CNN or I guess all the prosecutors, they have some new video footage that they haven't released yet.
Oh, yeah.
Which shows more of what was happening. So.
Yeah, I'm seeing that video. That's video. What I want to know.
Yeah.
Right.
Why y'all holding on to that?
You keeping up with the story, Steven?
A little bit here and there. Like, because, you know, I have my father-in-law. Like I said, we came from Maryland. And, my wife's best friend, she used to do, like, tours to, like, you know, in the D.C. area.
Yeah.
So she knew better than I did. Like, yo, like, the security there is no joke. Like, a lot of those places where those, like, protesters and stuff were, like, you can't go there. Like, they won't let you in there. You know what I'm saying? So, like, the people in D.C. more than anybody, especially the black people in D.C., they know, like, yo, they let these people do what? They got how far? Like, they were, like, blown away. Like, you know, and people brought up this other story about this lady who got shot and killed after making a U-turn in the wrong street. You know what I'm saying? In that area, like, near the Capitol. Like, there's just areas you're just not supposed to go. And a lot of people were upset because they're like, yo, if a group of black people showed up and tried to go where they were on those steps at all, like, they probably would have been gunned down or something. Like, you just don't, like, security stops you right there, like, dead in your tracks. Like, you don't go that far. So that's why it was just like, how they did what? Like, it's mind blowing for, like, you know, like I said, my wife's best friend and my father-in-law, he used to work in the Capitol area, like in D.C. Like, he works with like disabled people who are handicapped, but they have jobs. So he kind of, like, you know, kind of not babysits, but he, like, watches, make sure that they're actually on task, doing what they need to do, and they can get home on time and all that type of stuff. But they, like, clean up in the Capitol building and stuff like that. So he knows about like the area, and he was just like, they got where? How did they do that? You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, I'm looking at that story right now. Miriam Carey shot 26 times.
Yeah.
Doing a U-turn?
I think there's some extra stuff in there, but essentially.
Wow. Wow.
Miriam Carey was shot 26 times by law enforcement near the Capitol in 2013. Yo, that's crazy, fam.
So the treatment of January 6th. Wow.
That's wild.
Yeah, man. I mean, well, that one lady got shot. That was the only lady, right? Or was it two people?
What you mean?
In the rioters?
In the actual riot. It was like one or two people that got shot, right?
Yeah, I think the rioters lost like one person and the cops lost like five.
Yeah,
but two of them.
Something like that.
Was that like because of suicide or something? Or they were all shot or killed by people there?
I forget details. I might be wrong about five.
Yeah, I think you're right about the number, but I think a lot of them had it was suicide. Like after the fact.
We had potted on it was two individual, three cops that had committed suicide.
And there was another one recently too.
Yeah, and then the other ones I guess they got ran over by or stampede or whatever.
Oh yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
Wow. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Do y'all see his name? Senator Marco Rubio. He wanted to introduce a bill to suspend gun rights of anyone who has been investigated for domestic terrorism.
Yeah, I'm surprised. Like, he's a Republican, right?
Yeah, Florida.
That's so surprising. Like, for a Republican to have any kind of bill that limits gun rights. Like, I'm so surprised.
Right.
But I'm not really feeling it. Because, you know, again, historically in America, whenever there's some kind of law that restricts, you know, pretty much anything, but especially guns, they're going to use it to try to keep specific, like, black people from getting guns. You know what I'm saying? So, so when I hear, like, oh, if you've been investigated I'm like, hold up, just investigated? That's
right,
it?
Right.
Like, you don't have to go any further than that? Like, shoot, black people ain't gonna have no more guns. Like, we're all considered domestic terrorists. You know what I'm saying? Like we don't even have to kill people. Black Lives Matter has no body count. And we're domestic, domestic terrorists, you know what I'm saying?
There was a couple of people killed during the BLM riots. Like, stuff like that.
Yeah, I know, but it's like, you're not gonna... So, like, if somebody gets killed during a BLM riot, it's not like BLM is claiming it. Like, yeah, you know, we took them out because you didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're not offering demands. They're not, you know, there's no ransom note.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like BLM has a statement on the website where they're like, yeah, people get killed.
Like Al Qaeda.
If you go to the website, you hear stuff like, don't break anything. Don't riot. Don't do this, don't do that. So it's like, and of course, they're not going to publicly say, like, you know, looting is bad. They're not going to publicly say that because they don't want to discredit or silence the people who loot because they're hungry. But at the same time, they're not exactly endorsing it either. There's some people who will, but they're not, as an organization, they're not endorsing, like, looting and rioting and stuff like that. Right. They're just saying it's a natural consequence when you starve people and when you don't give people justice and when you know what I'm saying? They won't like reprimand it, but they're not going to like endorse it either because their website clearly says don't do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if you're coming out with us, don't do none of this stuff.
Wasn't there some comments that were going around of them saying like, yeah, do what you got to do or whatever, like one of the leaders or something like that?
Yeah, like I said, there might be some, because that's the other thing too, they're decentralized. So like you might have one leader in one town who's saying like, yeah, if you need to go do blah, 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 then go do it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But if you go to the website, it's not going to say that because that's not what they stand for as a whole. You know what I'm saying? So
I saw some people were hungry for Gucci. You see them hit the Louis store and the Gucci store, the Nike store. I saw a couple people running up in there.
Yeah.
Yo, but going back to that Trump thing, man. Did you guys know that they found some pipe bombs?
Yeah.
The FBI found it. The FBI knew about this before Trump even gave his speech.
Wow.
So that kind of discredits their case. You know what I'm saying? Like, people were already planning to attack before he even gave his speech. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, so.
But there was also a rumor that they had chats already happening, like Telegram and different chats are already conspiring to do things.
Word.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys, they came in from out of town. It's not like they showed up and then all of a sudden it turned into, hey, let's rush the Capitol. Like, cats came with like zip tie handcuffs and bombs and, you know, everything else. It's not like they came and like, oh, you know what? While we're here, I was just thinking, I think I found some zip tie handcuffs over here. Like, maybe we should rush in the, like, they didn't come up with this stuff. Like, they came from out of town on private jets and stuff to do this. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
right.
They didn't come up with it on the fly. Like, it was planned out. They definitely
it's possible. I don't think that everybody who was there to riot or to storm the Capitol.
Definitely not.
But I do think that there were people there who took advantage of that. You know what I'm saying? And and I'm just saying, in regards to the bomb, is that what the Democrats were saying was that it was Trump's speech which agitated the people. But if the FBI was already following people and the FBI already had evidence and they found a bomb or a couple of bombs, you know what I'm saying, then you can't really attribute that to Trump's speech. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
definitely not.
People were already planning to do that, you know, from jump, you know. That's the only thing. That's my only takeaway from it. When I found out that the FBI was already following people, I was like, yo, like, that's crazy. Like, they've been knowing about this. They just let it happen because it's not the first time that the government has known about something and they just let it happen. You know what I mean? Like, Dr. King's murder, Pearl Harbor. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, all kinds of things that the government allowed to happen just so that it would create an environment for them to be able to pass laws and legislation and whatnot. You know what I mean? But I'm with you. I definitely agree with you, Stephen, with the whole gun control thing, because we saw that here in Cali during the Reagan administration. Well, not the Reagan administration. When he was governor of California with the Black Panthers. And yeah, when they were standing in front of federal buildings with exercising their constitutional rights, the NRA and Ronald Reagan decided that we should probably ban that because we got Black men with firearms. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so that definitely affected people of color. You know what I mean? And I could definitely see this happening as well, because what is a domestic terrorist? Like, how do you define that? You know what I mean? And you're not even found guilty yet. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened to our Fourth, Fifth and Sixth Amendment rights? You know what I'm saying? Like, you just suspected of being a domestic terrorist. And then all of a sudden all your rights are just stripped away.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not rocking with that, man. Republican or Democrat or whoever. I'm not. That's tyranny. You know what I mean? And like all these people who say they pro America, you know what I mean? Like, you need to watch out for dudes like that.
You need to check your man.
Yeah, for real.
You're gonna have to send them to the other side with that kind of thought.
Right.
Yeah, that's why I was surprised. I was like, wait, he's a Republican putting this out? I'm like, oh,
right.
I mean, maybe he's trying to make it seem like, okay, fine, I get it. It's there's people on the right who are doing this stuff. Maybe we should make a law. Like, maybe he felt like he had to do something to make it seem like we're not cool with this insurrection stuff.
Right.
But, you know, again, it's too far. And at the end of the day, like, even though he's making it because of some stuff that a group of majority white people did, like, Black people are probably going to end up taking the L for it. So, yeah, I'm not feeling that law either.
Yeah.
I hear that.
Man, I definitely agree with that, man.
Yeah, you can cross the line with that.
He's wilding, man. So you in Atlanta, so you exercising all your constitutional rights.
Yeah, as soon as I can get a gun, you know what I'm saying? I'd love to exercise that right, but you know, money's tight. So once it's going like that, it ain't cheap,
especially now, man. Prices have gone up.
Yeah,
in the last year, like they just skyrocketed.
Yeah, a lot of prices for a lot of different things have gone up. Like, cause like I said, I work with sheds and you know, fences and stuff like that. Yeah. The price of lumber for certain things has gone up. Like certain stuff that used to be like $8 a board is now like $28 a board. You know what I'm saying? Like for like sheets of plywood and stuff like that, because production shut down because of COVID. But everybody went home and started looking at their houses and saying, well, as long as I'm here, I might as well get this fixed and get that. And why don't I get a shed? So
I bought a washer. I had to wait a whole month. I bought a washer and dryer, and I had to wait a whole month for it to get delivered. They were out of stock.
Yeah, because
of COVID. Like, I was like, yo, this shut crazy. Down. So I can imagine like what you're saying about like lumber and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're not harvesting that lumber, one, because of COVID. And then, like you said, the demand has gone up because everybody's at home. It's like, yo, let me go ahead and make that addition in my backyard or, you know, whatever.
Yeah. That's
crazy, man.
So I'm sure it's probably the same with guns, like probably with whatever manufacturing process they got. They might be short on staff, or they might be short on product, like the actual materials itself, ammo, or whatever.
Ammo's been hard to get.
No, big time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's the other thing too. Like the demand went up, especially like Black people started buying guns more than usual in the last couple of years, which I thought was dope. But like, you know, that's another part of the demand. Like demand went up. People, you know, especially when riots started happening and everybody was buying bullets, they're like, yo, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if people are going to come to my house. Like, I don't know what's going on. So
everybody's on Instagram at the shooting range now.
I had to give props to my boy, to Propaganda. I was like, yo, I thought Prop didn't like guns, but he was at the gun range too. I was like, yo, it's getting crazy out here. But I'm glad because, you know, again, like black people don't take advantage of that right enough. I think we've been kind of like, you know, the whole like, you know, gun violence in our neighborhoods and stuff, like since that's talked about so much. Yeah. We don't talk about like, well, how do we defend ourselves?
Right.
Let's buy guns. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not usually the solution that's presented to us. You know what I'm saying? So
and our view because of that violence is like, even as believers, sometimes is like, oh, guns. No, like,
yeah,
like there's no problem, man.
Get you one.
You're right. 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 And the people who are causing all that violence are getting them illegally. Usually in cities and states with the most restrictive gun laws.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Imagine that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Did y'all see that? Did you guys see that video in Philadelphia?
Shoveling.
Oh,
Pennsylvania. Dude, I don't know if it was
shot his neighbors.
Pennsylvania.
They were shoveling the driveway.
PA.
Yeah, they were shoveling, but supposedly the complaint was that they were pushing the snow onto his side of the street, and they were arguing, and the guy was, you know, they were cursing, and the guy came out with the gun. The guy told him, "Put the gun down. Come on, fight me one on one." And he's like, nah, shot them both. Wow. Went back inside, got a shotgun or something.
Like bigger an AR or something.
Yeah. Came and shot the lady again, shot the man again, make sure that they were dead. And then allegedly he shot himself after that.
I kind of skipped through it because I was just like, you know.
Yeah, it was gruesome.
I was like, what motivates somebody? Like, for shoveling? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy. Like, but, yep.
He was already.
Yeah, when I seen that, I was like, You can't be lacking, man.
But yo, but you also can't be about to smoke with people. Like you gotta be if you gotta be ready to die for whatever it is you fighting somebody over, because you don't know what they got. Yeah. So like if you're gonna be finding someone because they shoveling snow on your side.
And dude, he the one to pick the fight.
The dude shoveling, right?
Yeah, the dude shoveling. Yeah, he started calling them all kind of crazy names, and he kept drilling into him, like, dude, relax. And I guess dude couldn't take it no more. Obviously, he was on that. He was already dancing that fine line mentally.
Right.
Yeah. That was it.
Right. Sure seemed like it.
Yeah.
And he.
Yeah, I think. It's another reason not to sleep on the effects of isolation. I mean, I don't know exactly what motivated this dude, but a lot of people been in their house by themselves with, you know, their friends, their closest friends are their phone and their TV, you know what I'm saying? And so, you know, isolation isn't good for people. And I don't know, that may or may not have had an effect, but It's an assumption we should make. Like, let's not mess with people right now. It's been a rough couple years. You know what I'm saying? Right. So
that seems like there was more to that. You know what I mean? Like, this is probably like years and years of like neighbors feuding, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think it was just like this one incident.
Maybe.
Right. Yeah. Like I said, I don't know for sure. I'm just saying when you walk in the street, like in general, if you're leaving the house in 2021. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, be nice to people. Yeah, it's been a couple bad years, bro. Like, just give them the benefit of the doubt. They assume they've had a bad day. You know what I'm saying?
No,
so that's kind of where I'm at. So
Man, just move to a state where you don't got to shovel snow, man. You know what I mean? So you don't got beef with your neighbors.
You got to beef with your neighbors.
No, man.
It's true. I'm like shoveling snow, but it's like I'm trying to be careful that I'm not putting it in front of the neighbor's car, right? I'm like let me be careful how I shovel this, because.
Yo, and then like in where you live, right, in that complex,
yeah.
They shovel the snow on your cars, right?
Yeah, they push the snow right in front of your car. You're like, hello.
Hey,
the only place to put it is next to the car next to you.
So you bury in the next car?
Yeah, well, you bury it as far as in the street, hoping that they'll pile it somewhere else. You know what I mean?
You got to be like that dude on Instagram. But then again, a flamethrower.
The
flamethrower.
Then again, here's my thing, man. Listen, get up and shovel your car, man. We all out here shoveling. Get up. Get your behind up. Let's go. Start shoveling your car.
Oh, so you want me to shovel when you shovel it?
Yeah.
No, get I want to wait till you're done shoveling on you.
I mean, look, around in here, you know, last time we did it, you know, when we had the first bad snowstorm, everybody was helping each other out, man. They were like, hey, you need help? Like, you know what I mean? It was all love. But then that second time, everybody was like, this again. People were dragging their feet to get their cars up.
I can't relate, man. Like, I can't believe, like, you really spend an hour, 2 hours shoveling snow, man. Like,
2 hours, yo.
I don't want no part of that life, bro.
Well, good. Recave on YouTube agrees with you, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that's
the exact word.
Wait, but Jay, that's that West Side, man.
Hey, how many hours you spent shoveling?
You said 8, right?
8 the other day. I mean, the first big snowstorm.
Well, because you got the drive, you got the driveway, you got the front, you got everything, right?
Bro. He did the whole block for 8 hours.
Right, 8 hours is what I'm saying. Or he just worked mad slow.
I took my shoveling with a spoon.
Dude, it was how many inches? You got like 10, 12 inches.
Yeah,
I mean, that's another form of good cardio, though. If you're going to work out,
shovel snow,
that's a good way to put it.
I got lucky, though. When I was in New York, I was still driving for Lyft. Whenever it snowed, the first thing I wanted to do was go out and drive, because that's when the prices would go up.
Mm.
So, like, I would hardly ever have to shovel because I would be out driving while the snow is falling. So I would get home, park my car. I'd be straight. I get up in the morning, just get back in the car. Like, I wouldn't have to worry about like shoveling, like hardly ever, just because I was driving the whole time. So
those prices go up. They're like, oh, it's snowing in your area.
Yo, I'll be waiting for it to snow. Like, yo, I need it to snow this week because money's getting low. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it was good. It was good for me. But
yo, that's wild.
Well, shout out to Eddie. Eddie says, Stephen the Levite, how is every CHH head not watching this? Dude is the true facts.
Hey, yo, yo, make sure you guys
I appreciate it, man.
Thumbs up and share, Eddie.
People sleeping for real, for real. Yeah, man. Did y'all see what's his name? Casanova, the rapper Casanova.
Right.
He did a TikTok video.
In jail.
Yeah. He got this in jail and he got disciplined for it.
I want to know how they got a phone in there.
Really?
Well, I think it was visitation. Well,
yeah, it was during a visit. Somebody else recorded it and posted it, and he's getting in trouble for it.
But he was in his room, wasn't he?
I don't know. I'm not
cell.
Sure. How
it looked like he was in. I think he was in his cell.
It looked like he was.
It looked like he was like, in his cell. No,
it didn't like he was in a visiting room.
I don't know. I might have misread the article or something. It sounded like it happened during the visit or something. But I could be wrong.
The girl was whoever was there was recording
him.
Yeah.
Nah, that's crazy.
That Jumba. I'm.
That channel, is that the one where they just be like doing this thing like the whole time?
And they're like backing up.
And then they move into it. Then you show they're standing on top of a table or something.
Yeah.
And they're standing by a street light and they're doing it.
Junebug. I don't know the name of the song, but
yeah,
you know, all the kids go crazy. But yo, should inmates have those kind of privileges? Like, because I've seen other videos where dudes is freestyling and they sell and uploading the videos.
Like, no.
That's
weird.
That's proof that building walls doesn't work.
Yeah. Then you hear about what happened?
They get tablets, so it doesn't necessarily have to be a phone, like to what Jay was saying.
That's true. You're right about that one.
Yeah, because now you can video chat certain facilities, you know what I mean? You can video chat.
Oh, so they got you like a FaceTime?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was cool, because that's part of what they were saying in the article. Like, Casanova, like, part of his discipline, I guess that they were suggesting was that they kind of take away his video privileges for his visits. But he's like, that's the only way they can visit people since COVID. Like, they don't do like in-person, you know, chats, whatever. So maybe that's how she did it. He was in his cell, but he was doing a video chat.
Oh, probably
a video visit. And then that's how she recorded it from like her device. Maybe she like did a screenshot record or something like that.
Oh yeah. That so,
there we go.
See by the window. Definitely.
Oh yeah. You see, she's recording it on. Yeah.
Oh, no, she's not recording it. She's playing it back.
Oh, she is.
She's playing it back. He looked like he's
no, but she looked like she. Nah, that looked like a phone.
That looked like a rec room. That looked like a rec room or something.
Nah, look at the box. She's doing the FaceTime. She just not. It's not on her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like she's using another phone to record the phone that she's doing right. The visit on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if he should get disciplined for that. Like,
yeah, it's not like he consented. Like, hey, record this and post this on the net for me. But I don't know. I guess they can make that argument. I don't know if he did or didn't. But
yeah.
Yeah, man.
Whatever. He already facing another.
Why is he in jail, by the way?
Yeah, I think him and like 18 other dudes from the gang he's part of. I forget the name. Some with Gorilla in the name.
Gorilla Apes.
But yeah, it's supposed to. They're supposed to have a bunch of charges for like racketeering and drug. You know, trying to sell uncontrolled substances and stuff like that.
He didn't do the 6ix9ine and snitch.
Nah, he didn't. He, of course not. Nah. He can't after what he said about 6ix9ine.
After what he said, yeah,
right.
They also called they killed like a teenager or something like that, or a young adult.
Oh wow.
Yeah, there was like two killings. But he wasn't involved in that. But you know. It's just a big conspiracy thing. So,
yeah, that's how gang stuff works.
Yeah,
and they tell them
if the gang benefits, then you're part of the gang, then you're guilty.
That's yeah, they did say that he was like giving drug orders like through DMs on IG or something like that.
that's crazy. Foolish. If he did that, and they got a record of that, he deserves the time.
That's... Yeah, he was talking about drugs, like doing the IG and stuff, and they just you gotta get on Telegram, man.
This guy is giving out pointers.
I think I'm giving out ideas.
Now you're an accessory. Now you gonna get hit with Rico. Now you gonna get hit with Rico. It's from, Rico, it's charge.
Next topic, which
well, where you incriminate yourself some more,
they,
son.
They won't. They probably gonna start shutting that down too soon with Telegram, right? Because Telegram is known for its privacy and all that.
Encryption, maybe.
But
yeah,
I'm sure the government. They're gonna pass some kind of law.
We'll just find the next thing.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, that's the nature. That's the nature of both sin and humanity. We'll find a way. You know what I'm saying? Right, like,
true.
Yep. Some new app will pop up.
One thing that I saw that was pretty good news was there was in Chick-fil-A, one of the employees had won. I guess what was it? A challenge or like? They got a free car pretty much.
They had a raffle. And
was it a raffle? That's what it was. So it was a raffle. So they won a free car, and instead of keeping it and being selfish, right, like most of us humans are, they actually gave the car to one of their coworkers who was bicycling to work every day. Wow. So that was pretty dope, man. I was like, yo, that's a real act of kindness. Like
you expect that from Chick-fil-A, don't you?
I was about to say that. That's
I know, right?
Chick-fil-A worker would do. Burger King workers ain't doing that.
Nope.
Nah, it gotta be Chick-fil-A worker.
I care front. Every time you go to Chick-fil-A, they mad nice to you. Hey, bro, how are you?
They'll run up to the light if you forget.
My pleasure.
Facts.
Yeah, you always get my money. Way they coming up to you.
Yeah, do the they'll tackle a stranger for you. Chick-fil-A workers, they go above and beyond, yo.
That's cool. Yo, so if somebody wins a car out of y'all, which one y'all gonna give it to me?
Who's gonna ask you that if you win a Tesla?
You ain't bicycle. You got a car, brother.
Right.
I got an older car though. I got ones rolling in Bentleys and Mercedes and all this stuff.
It depends. If it's a Tesla.
Now, if it's a Tesla, you better give it to me.
I'm keeping that joint, son.
Like, no, you're not. No, you're not.
Bro, I drive an old car. My window don't even roll down.
Oh, you got to put your hand. You got to put your hand.
Window won't roll
you
down.
Put your hand. Nah.
He's still rolling.
I can't. I can't front. I'm driving a free car right now myself. I'm gonna take this opportunity to give R. Swift his props.
Hey,
it wasn't a contest. Throwback. It wasn't a contest, but he found out about this organization that gives away like 7 free cars a year. Wow. And he put our name in the joint. Got us the car for free. Hit us up like, yo, I got you a car. I was like, what? What are you talking
Hallelujah.
About?
Hallelujah.
So Brother Swift came through.
Shout out to R. Swift, man.
Yep, shout out to R. Swift. He's about to work. Yep. Yes, and the Lord provides because we definitely need it.
That's the name of that organization, man. We need to plug.
I forget, bro. At the time, we didn't live in Atlanta at the time, but the free car was here in Atlanta. So we had to take like a Greyhound down here from Maryland to come get the car. So but I cannot remember what part of the city it was in or anything. Cause at the time I was like Atlanta, like I've only been here once for like a concert once. Right. I don't know where I'm at. Like, but this is great.
How long ago was this?
This was, probably about 2 years ago.
And it's still going strong.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I had to get it fixed recently, but again, I'm not making payments, so I can't complain about
it. Right. Still going strong. You know what I'm saying?
Gas and oil.
Yep, gas and oil, and a couple, fixes here and there. So,
wow, I remember my first two cars were given to me. So one by a church member, and then the other one was actually the pastor's car, and it was like, you're doing good work here in church, whatever, and we just want to bless you. Because I was actually going to buy it because he had told me that they wanted to get another car. I was like, yo, I'll buy it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But since I was young, I was like, I got to go to the bank, get a loan. And then they was like, nah, we'll just give you the car. Take the keys. And
wow. Yo. Since we're bragging about God, man, I have never bought a car in my life. Every car that I had, somebody gave to me.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Lord, what's up?
Like my wife just got a car. My wife just got a car. But before that, like somebody always gave us a car. Her brother gave us a car. Her mom gave us a car. My mom gave us a car. My dad gave me bread for a car. You know what I'm saying? Like somebody always blessed us. Man. Like
some.
Yeah, man. Got it. Yo, son.
Yo,
the Lord provides, man.
When the Lord provides that Tesla, I'll give you my little Hyundai.
I'll take it. I tell you, my window don't roll down.
Don't worry. This one has automatic windows, everything. There you go. Everything.
Hey, I'll be happy there. You know what I mean? Well,
I heard a story of a gentleman, like he buys whatever, like $1,000 car, and then he'll ride it out for like 2 years, and then they die, but then he'll get another $500 or $1,000 car, and he just keep doing that.
Yeah, I mean, this car that I last bought before we got a dent and everything was $1,000 as well. It's been it was $1,000, and it's been rolling ever since. No repairs, no nothing.
From point A to point B, right? That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. Yeah, and Dave Ramsey, he gives away like 5 cars every year.
Oh, what?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's big on talking about how bad cars are for your money. Yeah. So, like, that's a good way for him to practically, like, look, if I'm going to help you, the best way I can do that is to give you a car instead of letting you pay payments for it. So, that's good to hear that he's actually, like, doing something practical about
it. Because then it's like, come on, Dave. Like,
right. How
I'm on the bus, man. Car, like, you know what I'm saying? I got 3 jobs. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to pay off this school debt. You know what I mean? Like, I need to buy a car.
Yeah, those car notes and that rent is a killer. If y'all get into that debt, yeah, man. But, Steven, what's been going on, man? What's going on in your world? What's going on with music?
I mean, it's been an interesting last couple of years, but finally put out my album with DJ Official. Excited about that. It took me like 4 years to finish it. You know, I started before he passed away, and you know, so when he did pass away, it changed the way I looked at the album. I had to take a break. I was like, I don't know if I'm like ready for this. I don't know if it's dope enough for this to be like the last thing that his name is on.
Right.
And I had to like kind of like reevaluate, you know what I'm saying? But it's out, it's done, still hungry. So that's done, trying to push this merch and stuff and get people to listen to it. A lot of it I wrote early, like years ago, but it's still relevant. So I'm excited about that. So I've been working on that. I'm also working on writing a book. Devotional for married couples.
You got a podcast too, right? With your wife?
Yep. Our Sexual Healing. We got a podcast and, the book kind of comes.
Yeah, go ahead. My bad.
Oh, no, you're good. But yeah, the book comes from, it kind of comes from this sex and prayer challenge that we do every year. This is our 3rd year doing it. We challenge people to, you know, have sex and pray 7 days in a row with their spouse. I wrote the first time we did it, I wrote 7 days of devotionals for it. And then the next year I wrote another 7 days, and I was like, wait, I should just write a whole 31 days and like make it a book. So that's what I ended up trying to do. So I wrote 31 days worth, and somebody just finished editing it. So I'm kind of going back over it and trying to do some last finishing touches to it. And we're going to try to put that out. So
when do you expect that to be out?
I have no idea, 'cause I don't know how this book process works, but we working on it. It's coming. You know what I'm saying? So I'm excited about that. Yeah, my wife's been super busy doing all kinds of stuff, working with AI. And,
grinding.
Yeah, she just out there. So, yep. Yeah, we be on. Yep. And that's the other thing, too. We're on Clubhouse every Thursday. We call it Thirsty Thursdays.
Shout out to Mario. That's
right. Look, son.
I think that book is going to sell out first day.
Hey, that's what I'm hoping for, man.
Three times a day, seven times. What is it? Prayer.
Seven times a day.
You won't make it through the whole challenge trying to do it that many times a day. Right. I don't know.
Hey,
yeah.
This guy.
But yeah, 7 days. It's good. We try to, like, our big thing is trying to help couples reconnect. You know, our philosophy is that if you enjoy your marriage, you might actually stay married. Right. So we try to help people enjoy their marriage and like really just connect. And there's a lot of people, like there's a lot of couples that just aren't having sex. Like a lot of married couples that just like, for whatever reason, just aren't really getting it in. And we're like, what's going on? I don't understand. So,
and that's kind of something that Paul talks about too, right? Like not denying each other so that we won't give in to temptation. You start hearing cases of infidelity because, you know, maybe the person couldn't get pregnant, or, you know, they weren't sexually intimate, or it wasn't there anymore. And, you know, so this is good stuff. This is stuff that needs to be addressed in the church. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yep. Because it's
church.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I was
about sex. Like they just skipped through Song of Solomon. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, yeah. It's like, bro,
like, we're not gonna talk about that right now.
Yeah, it's like, bro, it's like, but think about it though, right? The name is Song of Solomon, but depending on which version of the Bible you're grabbing, it's also called Song of Songs, which means like it's the best song among songs. You're telling me the best song is the Bible, in the Bible is the one we're gonna not talk about,
and
it's the one song we're not gonna write songs like. You know what I'm saying? Like,
we gotta touch on that.
Like,
you know, we be writing like that, and then we be like, nah, let me not.
Yeah,
so, ain't gonna be ready for this yet.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why are we not writing songs like the Song of Songs? You know what I'm saying? Like, how come there's not enough of that in CHH? Right. Or even for the Christian who does R&B, there's not a lot of people that can, like, it's hard for them trying to make a place where, like, like in between gospel and I do like CHH features, like there's not a lot of space for, like, let me just write a song for my wife. Like there's not a whole lot of it. So you have to be like, you have to be an anomaly to get away with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Triple Rock does a good, he does a good job at that.
Who?
Who's this?
Show Baraka.
Show Baraka. He's kind of the forerunner for a lot of us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yep. He was the first cat to say penis. Like, of all things, like, penis is what got him in trouble and kicked out of bookstores. But it's like, bro, it's not even like the D word. It's not. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he didn't say nothing crazy. He used like the Latin. Like
the actual official, anatomically correct word.
Yeah, it's like, why is he getting flack for this?
We definitely need more of that, more like R&B type sound, because otherwise, what do we got? We got Marvin Gaye, you know what I'm saying? That we
turn to
everybody else, and sometimes
that's exactly what I got on my list right now.
I'm saying, and sometimes those songs, I mean, the words, like, you don't even realize what they're talking about, you know what I'm saying? Like,
Yeah, I'm big because, you know, again, like, as a rapper, it's hard for me not to hear lyrics.
Right.
So, like, whenever, like, I remember when me and my wife were getting ready for our wedding, we're trying to come up with songs for the playlist.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, let's listen to this. What about this, you know, this Earth, Wind, and Fire song? You know what I'm saying? And I put on Reasons and I'm like, wait a minute, that's what this song is about?
You know what I'm saying? Saving on my love, you know what I mean? was it Whitney Houston? And it's like she talking about another dude. You know what I mean? It's like, wait. I didn't hear the song till I was like it didn't register till I was like in my 20s. And I was like, wait a minute. Like, oh man, this chick is foul. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And these are the songs that play like at weddings and everything else. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Great. Yeah, we need more believers, you know, making that type of music. You know what I mean?
We started a playlist called Marriage Music Mondays, where it's redeemed and redeemable, like love songs. Like it'll be Christian stuff, like Sho Baraka and myself, and you know, but it'll also have like the Marvin Gaye songs that don't make you feel weird about the lyrics.
you know
what I'm saying? Stuff like that. So we try to keep like all the up to date. Like
you got some Barry White on there?
I think so. Yeah, the 70s has the good stuff, man. Like you can't sleep on the 70s, bro. So
because some of their songs, some a majority, well, I can't say all of them, but a lot of their songs were like wholesome. You know what I mean? It still was that love thing. It wasn't about cheating on your girl, even though you have that back in the days. But now it's like, cheat on your girl, the biddies, and get lit and all that stuff.
It's got a real ratchet now. It's weird. I mean, there's still some songs that are still out there that are pretty dope that come out. Like John Legend's new album had a few good joints on it that were pretty good, like wholesome, you know what I'm saying? Just regular old marriage folk type stuff. I like a lot of the married artists tend to put out those kind of songs. Like, even like Beyonce's album after she got married, like my wife was really feeling a lot of her stuff. Like I said, John Legend, he's married now. His stuff was dope. What's it called?
Neo after he got married.
Who?
Neo after he got married.
Oh yeah, I don't really know his stuff like that, but I'm sure he probably got some decent stuff on there too. Yeah. But
that's
what's cool. Toni Braxton, the Braxton sister, I forget, Tamar Braxton, her stuff when she was married was pretty good too. So,
is this playlist public or this is just something between you and your wife?
Yeah, it's public. It's there's a link. I think I got like 82 followers on it. There's a link on our OSH, our sexual healing, the link in our bio.
Oh,
so,
yeah, on your Instagram,
everybody can find it. Yep, or just look it up on Spotify. Hashtag Marriage Music Mondays, one word.
You put your water joint on it?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Part of the topic, why not? Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
That's dope, man. So have you and your wife, like, have you guys counseled a lot of couples and then kind of just kind of help formulate like, hey, we need to really start touching on this topic because this is what's missing. Is that something?
Yeah, so it was a combination. Like, so when we got married, well, when we started dating, we were like the first couple to meet and start dating when Epiphany first planted in Philly. So, and you know, just me coming as a rapper, like I just knew from the gate, all eyes are going to be on us. So we got to make sure that we're, you know, like walking in a way that we're setting a standard and we're being good examples for everybody. So We were studying stuff. We were looking things up. How do we do this the right way? And then after we got married, we drew a lot of attention and single people were coming to us with questions and all that kind of stuff. And then eventually we started mentoring couples as, you know, part of the marriage ministry there. And, you know, that just kind of continued. But then like the thing that kind of like set off like me doing Can I Be Honest and us starting our sexual healing was us kind of getting to a breakthrough with our own marriage, where like my wife finally went to therapy and realized that some of the issues she was having were related to some trauma from you know her youth and college days and stuff like that.
Right.
So her being able to go through that, process it, give us both some clarity on why, you know, she thought the way she did, being able to address those lies that she believed and kind of like kind of fix some of the reoccurring issues in our marriage. we kind of got some freedom and got a little bit more confidence of being able to say, all right, well, let's help these other couples. Right. And so when I put the album out, people were like, yo, this album's amazing. It's helping my marriage. And we need, like, people don't talk about this enough. And I was like, yo, so why don't we find some other ways to, you know, have these conversations? So at the time, Periscope was popping.
Right.
So we were like, let's just go on Periscope and, you know, let people ask us questions and stuff. And so we started doing that. It got real crazy for a little while. And, you know, we just kind of kept it going since then. And it's been, you know, a bunch of different things since then. So, but yeah, but that's kind of like the what kind of started it and pushed it forward as far as like the our sexual healing stuff and the podcast and whatnot. And, you know, just the, and even just the reason why I always want to write another love song or another song about marriage or about sex or whatever, just because I feel like there needs to be more songs about this stuff. And, you know, the conversation needs to keep going.
Yeah. So you guys, you said you guys met at Epiphany, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How long were you in Philly? Cause you're from the West Coast, right?
Originally from California.
How long was it from the time that you left Cali and you were in Epiphany to the time that you met her?
So I left California in the summer of 2002 and I met her in the summer of 2006. Okay. So that's like 4 years that I was out there before I met her.
What made you go out there?
So me and Use One, we were praying. We were like, you know, like, I think, you know, we both felt like we needed to move. We felt like the Lord was telling us, like, it was time to go. And one of the former members of the group, Redeemed Thought, hit me up and was like, yo, I think you should move to Philly. Because he was from Philly. And he was like, yeah, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was telling me stuff. And it kind of clicked with, like, one night I was reading through Genesis. And I got to the passage where he said, you know, leave your father's house and go to a place that I will show you.
Right.
And I had just moved in with my father at the time because, like, my parents were broken up and I had gotten into some issues with my stepfather at the time. And so when I'm reading the passage, I was just like, Lord, are you talking to me? Like, you telling me to move? Like, what's cool? It just resonated in me differently. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't happened like that since, but I just knew that the Lord was saying, you need to go. It needs to go to some place you've never been before. So when he brought this stuff up about Philly, I was like, maybe this is what the Lord was talking about. We looked into it. I asked him, like, yo, when you get paid? He was like, Thursday. And he was like, when you get paid? Friday. He was like, all right, well, let's leave Monday. And so we just took off. And, you know, one of the best decisions I ever made. We ended up, you know, and so it was like the music that kind of motivated us, but also just like sensing like we need to move. At some point, we got to grow up and get out of our parents' house. Where are we going to go?
You were already doing music at the time?
Huh?
Were you already doing music at the time?
Yeah. That was like, I want to say Redeemed Thought started my first semester of Bible college. So like it was like 2001. And that was probably like my third semester, like the beginning of my third semester, I want to say.
Okay.
So like, yeah, so it had been like a year that I had been doing music with them, but I had been writing even before that. So maybe like a couple of years before that. So like maybe like 98 is when I started writing. So, yep.
Wow. So you've been in this thing a long, long time.
It's crazy. I forget how old I am. And so we start talking about like, so when did you start writing? Oh, yeah, I was like 98. You know, that's like over 20 years ago now, right? It's like, I'm old, bro. I've been a rapper for 2 decades. Like, it's crazy.
Now, so, did you start like in CHH or did you start writing before, you know, your conversion to the Lord?
Oh, yeah. Like my first rap was a diss track to one of the rappers from my school. he was this dude from Detroit who used to rap about stuff he didn't have, like driving a Pathfinder and a Lexus. And I was like, you can't even drive that. You're like a junior, right? I know you're like a freshman or a sophomore.
So
he was all cap. And so I was like, this dude's front. And I was like, somebody needs to show this dude that he's whack. And you know, my backpacker you know, Pharisee, zealot, elitist mode kicked in, and I was like, I'm gonna start rapping just so I can diss this dude. So, so that's how I started rapping. I started writing diss tracks for this guy. So,
did he hear it?
Yeah, he heard it, but he didn't hear it until after I was saved. And I was like, I remember I was working at a Carl's Jr. at the time. I was working in the drive-thru. And I remember he came through the drive-thru like, yo, man, I heard the diss track, man. Like, what's up? And I was just like, hey, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't got nothing for you, bro. Like, I'm a Christian now.
Like, you know, you're whatever. Driving, right? You're driving. Yeah, like, it don't apply.
You're driving, and I'm working right now. So like, here's your burger. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, man. So he didn't hear it till later. At that time, I was just like, he was the last thing I was thinking about. So
right.
Yeah. So you was gunning at him, and he ain't even know.
Yep. Yeah, I think I forgot how it went all that. It's you know, it's blurry. Those years, like right before I got saved, it's all blurry. But yeah, man.
I first heard of you. I think it was I saw you and Muse One in a cipher, and I think it was for the Holy Culture joint.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And I was like, I never heard of you before. And I just dudes rapping, and they just in a cipher just going off. And I was like, yo, this is so dope. Who are these dudes? Right. And then that was it. Like, I don't remember you guys performing or anything else. Like, and I hadn't heard, you know, of you guys like after that for a while, you know. So, and it didn't click till we were in the CHH chat, right? And I was like, wait a minute. Oh, snap. You know what I mean? And I was like, okay, that makes sense. You know what I mean? But so how long was it from the time that you got to like Philly and then you like started doing music and you started getting notoriety and all that? Like, because you worked with a lot of different artists, like at the time when like CHH was like at its peak, I would say like, yeah. And like that, I would say it was like the golden era of CHH.
Yeah.
It would be the equivalent of the golden era of CHH. But, I mean, in my opinion. So how did you get into that and some of the artists that you work with, and how did all that come from Epiphany?
So that actually came before Epiphany. Epiphany didn't start until like 2006, 2007. But like we got there in 2002, and almost immediately we started running into people. Like we went to a Bible study at it's called the Antioch of Calvary Chapel now, but back then it was just Antioch. And it was we ran into Timothy Brindle there, and you know, we were like, who's this, you know, awkward looking white guy with glasses? And you know, he's like, yeah, so we come again, it's Thursday night. He tells us about this open mic the next day at Sharon Baptist. They used to have this thing every first Friday. No, it was like every second Friday. So he's like, yeah, there's going to be an open mic tomorrow. You guys should come out. So that next night we go there. It's him. It's Shylin. It's Jay Johnson. He was going by Jay Silas back then. It was, I want to say some cats from, it was Swift. That's when I first met Swift in person. It was, you know, just a bunch of people was there. So I hear all these dudes rapping for the first time. I want to say even Jafia might have been there, but it was a lot of cats. A lot of cats who aren't really like making music right now, but at the time they were like, you know, big deal. And you know, so we meet all of them on Friday night. That night they also tell us, hey, there's going to be this other concert. There's going to be this outreach at this other church tomorrow, so you guys should come to that too. So we go there. Then I meet Mac DeDulos and Israel from Everyday Process. Yeah. I meet Tubbs, you know, I mean a couple other folks there. And I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. You know, and then like, so, you know, so it started there, like meeting all these people, and everybody's like, yo, you guys are from Cali, y'all do rap, y'all do this, y'all do that. Let me hear some stuff. And then like we just started building and building and building.
Yeah.
We met Fish eventually at some point. We met, you know, the Movement. We started, you know, doing like the open mic nights and stuff and outreach events. We ended up meeting Cross Movement. They're like, yo, we heard your demo back when you guys were in Cali. Y'all want to drive this tour bus wow. for us or, you know, stuff like that. So we ended up like coming up under their wing a little bit. They started putting us on tracks. Manny starts putting me on tracks. Reach Records starts putting us on tracks. And we're just like, yo, this is crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and so that all this is before my first album came out. My first album dropped the summer that Epiphany started. So so it was just a lot in a short time span. You know what I'm saying? Like, but that's kind of it was like, you know, again, it was God's providence, because if the Lord didn't tell me move to Philly, none of that stuff, I wouldn't have met. I wouldn't have met none of these people. I wouldn't have met my wife. Right. I wouldn't have been a part of Epiphany when it started. My music career never would have took off. Like, who knows? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
right.
But, you know, and that's how I look back and say, yeah, that was definitely the Lord speaking, because who I didn't know this stuff. The only people I knew that was from Philly was Cross Movement. And that was it. I didn't know about any of these other folks. Shy, Tim, like the truth. I didn't even know who he was back then. Like none of that stuff. I didn't know nobody. So it was totally the Lord's providence that took us out there for that.
Yeah, I don't. I think I found out about Cross Movement in '99. It was '99. I was watching BET. I had just gotten saved, but I was still smoking blunts.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm watching Rhapsody, and Cross Movement come on.
Yeah,
this is Christian. Like, what, you know what I mean? And so I go to the Bible bookstore, and this is when what's the second album? It's Heaven's Mentality, and then it's
Human Emergency.
House of Reps. So it's House of Reps, right? So I go to the Bible bookstore, because back then there was no iTunes, none of that. You had to go to the Bible bookstore. I go to Bible bookstore. And they don't have the cassette, because this is, CDs is still kind of new, right? And look at this dude, Mario.
I know, right? This dude, great.
Shout out to Mario Esco. He said, dude, he said Jimmy was just smoking an hour ago.
That's not crazy, man.
He tried to do the cannabis joint on you, man.
Right. So I go to Bible bookstore, and they don't have it. They got to order it. And so I see it was like a 7-Ball magazine or something like that. Do y'all remember that? Probably not. But there's a 7-Ball magazine, and it has a CD sampler. And it's got Cross Movement. It's got old Cross Movement, right? Mm-hmm. So I had never heard Heaven's Mentality before. So it's got old Cross Movement, KJ52, a bunch of other cats. I don't really remember who it was. John Rubin or somebody, I don't remember who. And I get home and I play. I was like, yo, these dudes are ill. And that was like my first introduction to Cross Movement. You know, that was 99. And then after that, I was like buying every CD that came out. You know what I mean? Just everything that came out. I mean, well, everything that wasn't from California.
Yeah, man. It was so interesting back then. But yeah, man, I remember those days, because Calvary Chapel Bible College had the bookstore. And so I would be on campus. Before I started going to school there, I would be there just trying to get music. So, like, that's where I got my Cross Movement stuff, my Urban D CDs.
Yeah,
Urban D. My Mark J CDs.
Tons of God.
Everything I bought, I got it from there. The first time I went to a Christian rap concert outside of my own church was on campus at Calvary Chapel Bible College. And I remember it kind of being critical, because they were rapping over secular beats. And I do that now. But back then I was kind of like, I don't know. But like, I forget the dude's name. It was this dude. He was rapping over like Mobb Deep and like Nas beats and stuff. And I was like, yo, this dude's actually pretty dope. But and this other dude, Inspector 2211, he ended up giving us beats when we formed a group like years later. But that was Calvary Chapel Bible College kind of played a role in kind of introducing me to, you know, a lot of things, just because they had a bookstore and, you know, a campus, you know. So
Right.
Yeah.
Yo, Switch, what was the first concert you went to? CHH concert.
Oh, it was like a coffee house.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was local. And I had just got saved. So I was, you know, when you first get saved, you're like, I ain't trying to hear none of that. Like, Right, Christian, what? Like, nah. My spirit was like, nah, I'm not with this at first. And then another sister, shouts out to Teresa. She gave me the House of Representatives Cross Movement cassette at that time. And she was like, check this out. Check these guys out. And they were, that was old already, but she had that. And it, mm-hmm. they was already going to drop Human Emergency, which was about right. to come out on CDs. And then I heard it and I was like, yo, this is, I just kept listening. I was like, yo, this is ill.
Right.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Those were the days, man.
Yeah, what happened to coffee houses, man? People don't do the coffee houses no more like that, right?
Starbucks shut them down.
Yeah, man.
So how did you formulate with Lamp Mode? How did that come about? Because it seems like it seems like in Philly it was more like just y'all fellowship, bunch of rappers just fellowshipping, getting to know one another, and then just mm-hmm. building from there. And then eventually y'all start, you know what I mean, grouping up kind of thing, right?
Yeah. I mean, because I think a large part of that was I think there's two or three major factors that plays into that. One, you had Cross Movement, which was using more of a ministry model for their business as a rap group. So they weren't just like, oh, he's hot, let's sign him. They were like, well, let's watch him for a couple of years. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Let's see if he wants to be discipled. Let's see if he is involved in this church. Let's see right. if he's actually about ministry. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
there was a lot of like, imagine we're not that. Just going to put you on just because you can rap. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you a believer? Yeah. Do you love Jesus? You know what I'm saying? Plus, so there was that. Also, at the same time, like, this is like right around the era, like a little before, like a little after the whole like Christian rappers getting kicked out of churches. You know what I'm saying? Like, so this is like the era, like right after when like Christian rap wasn't really welcomed in the church. So Christian rap was developing its own community outside of church. You know what I'm saying? Like, and this is where we kind of got like the Christian hip hop fan, like kind of like not necessarily being completely attached to his local church. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of us started kind of developing a philosophy that said we don't really need the local church because we have each other and we are the church. You know what I'm saying? So you have those two things feeding into this idea that like both of those things factoring together turns into a lot of Christian rap fans and rappers who just want to hang together all the time and kick it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and plus like Cross Movement kind of created an environment in Philly where just like there was open mics all the time. Like every week there was an open mic you could go to somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Every mm-hmm. week, like, you know, it was either Sharon Baptist or, you know, First Friday Fundamentals with Shaolin, or you could go to this. I think it was I forget which Baptist church it was. But like, you know what I'm saying? It was just, there was always something that you could go to. All the concerts were free all the time. And so you just saw everybody everywhere, you know? And so, you know, we just kind of built that friendship, you know? And specifically with Lamp Mode, when DJ Essence was moving to Philly, Tim hit us up like, yo, can you help my boy move to Philly? He's like, he's a DJ. He produces, he's trying to start this label, blah, blah, blah. And but he needs help moving here from Pittsburgh. So we were with Esso from day one, like as far as him being in Philly. We helped him move. You know, he had studio equipment. We started kicking it with him. He was like, yeah, I can record you guys. So we started recording everything at his house. And like his house was just a vibe too. Like, whenever we came through, he would put a teapot on. He would be like, you guys want some tea? That's why we started calling it Lamp Mode House of Tea, because he was always like offering tea to everybody. Plus, it's good for your vocals and all that. But a lot of the inside jokes, globs and globs of honey, please. Like, that's something Tim would say, like, you know. So, like, so we were just friends kicking it. And he had a studio. We started recording there. We recorded the Truth, Beauty, Goodness album there. And, you know, it kind of, you know, we just continued the friendship. So eventually when I started doing my own solo project, they offered me a spot on the label and I was like, yeah, let's do it. So, and by that time I moved into his house. So, he actually had moved. He moved into a house that had like, I want to say like 4 or 5 bedrooms, and he had the studio in the basement. So I would go to work during the day. And then at night when I got home from work, we would go to the basement. The first night, I think we recorded 5 songs because I had been writing since I had been writing. Like, if you go through my notebooks at the time, you'll find a True Beauty Goodness song, a Today's Game song, a True Beauty Goodness song, a Today's Game song, a Today's Game song, a True Beauty Goodness song. Because I was writing for both at the same time. Right. So a lot of stuff had been sitting waiting for me to do a solo project. And when I finally got the green light, I was like, all right, well, I got these 5 memorized. Let's get them. You know what I'm saying? So, so it was just like a progressive, like, you know, building the friendship, building the relationship, and eventually just like, let's do an album together. And, you know, it kind of popped off that way. So, yeah, man, it was a lot of just natural. Even like Lambo didn't have any written contracts. Like, we were just friends doing business. Like, it was just like, yeah, like, we'll just split it 50-50. Like, you know, so it was just real organic and natural, you know?
That's dope. So are you still like in Lamp Mode right now? Or is it like, what's going on with Lamp Mode as far as like in 2021?
Yeah, so the only person I know that's still putting out music through Lamp Mode is Esso. But to my knowledge, it's like, it's kind of like dwindling down. Like, of course, the business is still operational because as long as they're as long as people are still streaming music that came out through Lamp Mode, Lamp Mode still has money that's coming in and money that they got to pay people. But I'm not sure exactly what direction they're heading as a label and, you know, what they got going on. But my most recent album is independent. Put it out through my wife's label, I guess you can say, Artso. And nice. Yeah, that's so
dope. That's really dope.
So yeah. So we're trying to keep that going. She's working on trying to get some things in order and try to take off. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited and proud for it. So yep.
Dope, man. And so you got something else dropping as well?
So I need to write, but yes, that's the plan. So it was crazy though, right? It was crazy. Like, years ago, before I started writing Still Hungry, my plan was I'm gonna do something short, like 7 tracks, and then I'm gonna just put out like 3 of them. You know what I'm saying? I was like, I'm gonna just grab 3 producers and then it took so long, and then Kanye had the same idea, I was like, "Hey, now it's not even like." But I still plan on doing it. I just gotta contact the next producer. But I'm in a place where I'm like features cost a lot of money, and I'm not making a lot of money in this. Like, the way the industry is right now, it's not a whole lot of money coming out of music. So I'm like, how can I cut costs in a way that's not like, that doesn't hinder the art, but, you know, can also kind of propel it. And so I'm like, if I can just do a track, like a 7-track album with a producer and, you know, try to kill it as best I can for them 7 tracks, then it might be worth it. So that's kind of my plan for the next 3 albums.
All the producers out there listening, man.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I already got some in mind. I'm not putting them out there yet, but you know, I got the next 2 or 3 lined up that I want to work with. So
nice,
yeah, man.
That's awesome, man. Well, man, it's good to have you, man. You know what I mean? It just having that just having like a piece of CHH. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And the part that you guys played and you have played, man. So. It's definitely dope speaking to you, man, and I'm sure you got tons of stories.
Tons, bro. It's crazy. It's like you don't realize it until people start bringing stuff up, and you're like, "Oh yeah, I remember this one time." And they're like, "Yeah, I gotta." And then somebody brings something. "Oh yeah, and I remember this one time." And then
yeah.
So it feels good. It feels good to look back.
Amen.
I would love to see like a documentary or something of that time, man, because like, you know, being on the West Coast, seeing like just seeing all you guys in Philly, like that was like the mecca of CHH. I mean, I know that was hard in other parts, you know what I mean, doing stuff, but like that's just where everybody came from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the music I consumed, you know what I mean, aside from like maybe Corey Redd and Precise, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Urban D, like everything was coming out of Philly, you know?
Yeah, man. It was crazy, you know, again, just looking at the Lord's providence and just kind of being right in the middle of it, right when it was going down. Like it was, you know, again, there's nothing else like it, you know?
I think the music was, maybe it's just nostalgia, but I feel like the music was a little different, like as far as like the intent.
Yeah.
You know? I think it was more ministry driven back then. Mm-hmm. I feel like right now it's kind of just like, it's about being wavy, you know, mm-hmm. It's about streams, you know what I'm saying? It's about likes, you know, which, you know, those metrics are okay, you know what I'm saying? But it just seems like that's the main focus, you know?
Yeah.
To me, that's just my opinion, you know?
Yeah.
There are some artists who are definitely about ministry, you know, shout out to GOM and, you know, shout out to Hog Mob and everybody else who's doing focusing on ministry. You know what I mean? But it just seems like it's a different. It's different. You know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on like the current state of CHH and the artists that are out now?
It's weird. You know, for me, it's a two-sided question because it's the content and the music itself. You know what I'm saying? Because for me, musically, I'm an East Coast hip hop fan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So there's not a whole lot coming out for me anyway. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I feel you.
And, you know, what I learned being in Philly around the time when Flame was coming up, when JR was coming up, when Lecrae was coming up, was that it doesn't necessarily have to be my flavor for me to say it's good. You know what I'm saying? Like I wasn't into crunk and like all that kind of stuff like when it first dropped, and I've never really been into it, but I've always had like there's always been Lecrae joints I like, there's always been Flame joints I like, stuff like that. So I recognize like lyrical ability no matter where it comes from. So there's dope rappers that come from all over the US.
Right.
But at the same time, like I feel like some of it has gotten not as good as it used to be. You know what I'm saying? So there's not a whole lot of trap that I'm going to listen to, but it feels like a lot of the stuff that comes out is trap. So like, there's a lot that I'm not paying attention to just because if in the first couple of seconds I hear, I'm just like, all right, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? I'll give it a chance. If I know the rapper is dope, I might give it one listen just to hear his bars. But musically, I'm going to be like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've heard this before. So, you know, and again, I say it on the album. It's mutual. Like, for some of them cats, backpack rap is the same thing. They're just like, I've heard these beats before. Like, you know, they feel that way. But for me personally, that's how I feel about trap or whatever. So, so that's the music side of it. And at the same time, I will say this too. There are some dope rappers. You know what I'm saying? Some of them spit over trap. And I may not actually bump it a lot, but I do give those rappers props. I know when these cats are killing it, and you know they got bars. I'm not gonna front them.
Right.
But content wise, I think you have a decent mixture. I think there should be a range of stuff available for people. You know what I'm saying? Because again, like not everything is for me as the you know. Been a Christian for 21 years and, you know, like likes East Coast hip hop. Like there's not going to be like a whole bunch of music out there for me specifically, but all of it shouldn't be for me. You know what I'm saying? Like who's going to make music for that, you know, thug on the block who just, you know, wants some gully stuff, you know what I'm saying? Or who's the Christian who's making love joints for Christian couples and who's making, you know what I'm saying? So there should be a range of stuff available. True. You know, and some people want to hear a silly song about riding a skateboard or something. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, let them hear them joints. You know what I'm saying? Somebody just wants something some, you know, they want some VeggieTales type Christian hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, give it to them. You know what I'm saying? By all means, give it to them.
You imagine Larry Boy doing some trap.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, like, if you just want something wholesome you can play in front of your kids, then, you know,
yeah,
somebody should be out there making it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with the content stuff. Like, you know, as long as it's for somebody, I may not be thinking about who it is, so I don't really have an opinion on it, and it doesn't matter what I think. You know what I'm saying?
And you came from that era, too, where it was like, because you had Cross Movement, Lamp Mode, right, Reach Records, and then you had Jafai Life or Tunnel Rats at that time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
people would be on the forums between Holy Culture forums, like, oh, is this a god or is it not, and this and that.
Yeah.
So you kind of lived through these eras where you seen, like, CHH transition, you know what I mean?
So, yeah. Because those days were crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Say what?
No, it's dope to hear that from you, that you're so balanced about it. You know what I mean? You're not like, well, it has to be this way. And if you don't do it this way, then Christian rap is dead and it's over with. You know?
Yeah. Because I think even back then, I don't think Cross Movement was trying to tribalize Christian hip hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were out there on the forums themselves saying this stuff. It was people who, you know, again, and it's a lot like, you know, Christian hip hop hasn't changed that much in that sense. A lot of our fans will go to the message boards, and because they listen to us, but they have their own beliefs or their own philosophies or ideas about the way things should be done, they kind of form these groups, or, you know, they just kind of like align with each other on certain ideas. And they wave the flag of Lamp Mode or Cross Movement as they're doing it. But we didn't send these people. You know what I'm saying? It's like they're speaking for us, but they're not speaking for us. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, and I think back then it was the same too. Cross Movement wasn't trying to say, oh, you're in sin if you're not writing about Jesus. Like, if you don't mention Jesus in every song, then they weren't saying that stuff. You know what I'm saying? But again, their fans were, you know what I'm saying? Because they had those philosophies, and Cross Movement just happened to be that group that talked about Jesus hardcore. So they were waving the flag of Cross Movement while saying all this legalistic stuff about what Christian hip hop should be. Mm-hmm. And so again, so they kind of put the Cross Movement face on the legalistic philosophies of Christian hip hop. You know what I'm saying? But it wasn't necessarily what Cross Movement was saying. So they kind of, I wrote something about it in a verse that I probably didn't even put out, but I talked about how, you know, our representatives start these fights with each other, but they don't really represent us and stuff like that. But a lot of that was going on the message boards back then. It was like, you know, the Tunnel Rats fans versus the Cross Movement fans, like, you know, so, and it was, you know, it was corny, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I think we all kind of grew up and matured past that stuff. A lot of artists that, you know, philosophically, my legalism and the part of me that was one of those, like, you know, Cross Movement forum people, a lot of those people that I wouldn't have listened to, I actually, like, met in person and actually became friends with and, you know, started listening to their stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, so you know, it's different when you actually realize they're a person. And you actually get to talk to them and realize why they do music the way they do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And again, it's not to say that I don't know a lot of the cats from California personally. We did a couple of shows with some cats in Cali before we left, but there's a lot of them we didn't know. And some of them I know through other people, like, have fallen off the faith or never were believers to begin with, or were smoking weed a lot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So some of them actually weren't Christians, you know what I'm saying? And that's why we heard their music and thought, what are they talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But at the same time, there were other people who were like, you talk about a Jafai. Jafai has been a believer the whole time. He just had a different philosophy on what needs to be in his music. You know what I'm saying? He didn't feel like he had to do this didactic style of MCing, you know?
Right.
So, you know, so it's a range of reasons why things kind of went they did. But I think, you know, hindsight's 2020. At the time, Christian hip hop was brand new. Nobody knew what was going on. It was uncharted territory. The, you know, the charismatic churches are thinking it's demonic. The white churches are thinking it's a novelty. You know, nobody knows what it's supposed to be doing because Christians in general have responded terribly to new music for ages. You know what I'm saying? So nobody knew what we were doing. But now that it's like it's been 20 years, now it's like, well, calm down, people. Let's apply some common basic Christian wisdom here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But again, back then it was uncharted territory. Like, how are we supposed to do this? Is it God? Is it not? You know, so, you know, I remember, there's a demon named hip hop and he told me it's like.
Right. So Craig G. What's his name? Craig. Yep. What's the man's name?
Yeah. I heard.
I heard Fred Price Jr. do a sermon on reformed rappers. And how he would never invite them to his church. I think it's still up too. I thought that was wild.
I understand why though. Because we was calling out mad heretics back then, bro.
True, that is true. Like, Shaolin was going in. Shaolin was,
for you money hungry preachers, better check yourself.
Right.
I was like, you know what I'm saying? They did not like us, you know what I'm saying? So I get it, you know what I'm saying? Like, but again, And that was part of the appeal of Christian hip hop. Oh, I'm getting more doctrine from your songs than I get from a sermon. You know what I'm saying? Cool. But also at the same time, we were getting kicked out of churches. So we didn't feel subject to the authority of the local church either. You know what I'm saying? Right. So that kind of had some systematic issues in it as well. Right. Like, you know what I'm saying? We didn't like calling our pastors pastor. You know what I'm saying? We wanted to come in and say, hey, what's up, Joe? You know what I'm saying? Or give him a nickname. You know what I'm saying? Let's give him a nickname. Like, there was a lot of stuff that we had to, like, okay, like, let's calm down. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's be under their authority. Let's be discipled. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, let's not, like, try to come in like we know everything everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I know we got some doctrine. We got some teaching. We listened to some John Piper sermons and some Johnny Mack or whatever. Back then we would do that. Now we wouldn't. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know we got some teaching, but that doesn't mean we can come up in somebody else's church and start telling them what they should and shouldn't do. We're still we don't have, I mean, some of us got them now, but back then some of us, we didn't have the theological degrees and stuff like that. Like, we didn't really have the authority just be coming in there and saying, like, you know, we had a lot of boldness that was kind of, it felt good and healthy and stuff like that. But, you know, like some, like, and again, I say this, like, in a sense that would I do it again? Probably not. Do I regret it? Absolutely not. You know what I'm saying? I feel like there was a youthful zeal and it needed to be said, but now I'm like, I'm in a place where, I wouldn't come into a place and start trouble like that. You know what I'm saying? Like I would have back then, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, but again, I think it was a good era. Like, we kind of like clarified from the gate. We're not about this money hungry crap. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't bring that stuff in our area. You know what I'm saying? Cats knew from the gate. Oh, he's a problem. You know, Benny Hinn needs to pull out his, you know, his Holy Spirit machine gun if he sees one of us. You know what I'm saying? it's going to be on and popping, you know? So,
and that Philly movement shifted even the, like you said, the doctrine, right? Like, because everybody became reformed. It's like everybody you know is reformed now. Oh, you guys.
Yeah, man.
Because you guys were the guys that were putting people onto these preachers, you know what I mean? These people that we haven't heard, you know what I mean? Some of us are in New York being those Pentecostal Shabbat churches, and then you guys would say, well, yo, this is who we listening to, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it was who is this guy? Who's Paul Walker? Who are these guys? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I remember, like, you know, especially like the Shy and Tims, like they would use a lot of like they would use book titles from like Puritan paperbacks and stuff for their songs. And I would be like, you know, it was like, you know, and, you know, people would see like A.W. Tozer or, you know, Arthur Pink, or, you know, they would see the names and they would just be excited. And, you know, 80-year-olds are coming to our concerts because they, you know, they know that the theology is on point. So they want to hear the music. And now they're like in tears, you know what I'm saying? So it was, again, it was just a crazy anomaly of things going on, you know? But yeah, like it was a lot of like, yo, let me show these rappers something, you know? Like, to this day, I don't have the statistical analysis to prove it, but I'm still curious whether people stop rapping about beating up demons because I put out DNA. Because I feel like it got quiet after that. You know what I'm saying? Like, like I haven't heard a lot of that since then. You know what I'm saying? But I was just like, yo, because I remember I went to Rap Fest one year. Every dude who got on stage was like, yo, let's stop Satan. Let's beat this demon up. And I was just like, yo, what are we talking about? You know what I'm saying? But yeah, like I said, after I put that song out, it got quiet. And I was like, yo, I wonder if I stopped this. Did I do this? Is this me?
It's like when Jamie talked about auto-tune, right? Everybody.
Yeah. I mean,
for a minute.
I wish that was more effective, but yes, that's kind of like that. Yeah. There's been a whole lot of auto-tune since then. It's like, it's tripled and it went up. It was just like, what, Jay-Z? You don't like auto-tune? So what? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it got bad. It's still bad, but you know. Another conversation.
Good stuff, man. Hey, I got the scripture today. It's 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Stephen, for coming to the show, man. We really appreciate you, man. We got some gems today. Real.
That's what's up.
Where can people find you, Steven? What you got going on? Go ahead, give yourself a plug.
Oh, so again, the best way to get access to me and my music, I got a bunch of free stuff on Patreon. So patreon.com/, I want to say, The Whistleblower. If you can't find it, find me on Instagram. Links in the bio. Just click join the squad. Yeah, and then so me and my wife, we got Our Sexual Healing. You can find us at oursexualhealing.co, or you can find us on social media. It'll be Our Sexual Healing or Our Sexual Healing on Twitter because they don't have enough characters.
We got the
But yeah, you can find me just if you Google Stephen Levite, you'll find me on social media. I'm usually under The Whistleblower, DA Whistleblower. And yeah, the music's everywhere. So except the verse of the month stuff, which, like I said, it's free, but it's a streaming only site. So like YouTube, Bandcamp, SoundCloud, stuff like that. So yep.
Dope. So with that being said, I want to thank everybody for watching on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitter. And for our audio only listeners, thank you so much. Make sure you're still leaving those reviews on Apple Podcast. And we'll see you on the next episode. Make sure you get your merch, shop.thatsnotchristian.com. Some big things coming with the website, some new stuff coming out. But once everything is ready, we'll let you know. Thanks again. We'll see you in the next episode. Peace.
Peace.